Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
We'll hit betting the NFL draft and baseball futures. I know there was sort of an opening day the other day, but that one doesn't really count for us. And today's card of eight games in college hoops, which eight move on to the Sweet 16 today? All that coming up. We bring in friend of the show, Ryan Horvath of BetMGM tonight on the BetQL Network weeknights. And sometimes you catch the final hour right here on 670 The Score. Horvy, it's been a while. We're going to get to the college hoops games coming up in a bit. You know how it is right now in Chicago. It's all draft. We had the pro day for Caleb Williams earlier in the week. Okay, we know the Bears are going Caleb number one overall. It's just a matter of what they're going to do at number nine overall. But, you know, I think back to the conversations that we had going into this last football season, and you, some things that you said about the Bears actually being positive when people were negative on them. I'm thinking you're a year too early, because the moves that are lining up, as the Vikings are taking multiple steps backwards, Kirk Cousins no longer there. We know they're completely resetting as an organization. The Bears, third favorite in the North at plus 350. I don't think that's bad. I think there's a path to them winning this division.
Yeah, I really do too. And thanks for having me. I mean, like, Green Bay, second half of the season, a much better football team, but I actually don't really love the moves from Green Bay. I think Aaron Jones, I know he's going to be 30 years old week one of the NFL season, but I think he's a more complete back than Josh Jacobs. Everybody always said, I don't know that Aaron Jones is a three down back. I mean, I know he's had some injuries, but look what he did the final 4 weeks of the regular season. And then look what he did in the playoffs. I mean, I would have brought back Aaron Jones. Now, Josh Jacobs, when you look at the deal, it's pretty much a 1 year deal, but he's 26 years old. He's coming off his worst season as a pro. He rushed for a little bit over 800 yards. David Bakhtiari's gone. I know he's been often injured, but he's still one of the better pass blocking left tackles. You know, you're paying $25 million for a safety for year one. So I'm not sold on Green Bay. For Detroit, I thought there was going to be some regression because I thought Ben Johnson was going to accept the head coaching job. He obviously doesn't. He's back in Detroit. So I don't know if we see any regression on the offensive side of the ball. I think they're properly priced. They should be the favorites. And then, like you said, Minnesota, it looks like they're going to rebuild, or at least look to rebuild on the fly. Let's see what happens with Justin Jefferson. But I think they're going to move up in this draft. They're going to get a quarterback. I bet them to take JJ McCarthy. I think he's their guy. So it's probably going to be a 2 to 3 year rebuild. And I'm excited about the Bears, man. A ton of money, a much better defense. The second half of the season, that was a top 10 run defense, a really good defense. I think the secondary is only going to improve. And I'm a Caleb Williams fan, man. I've been a Caleb fan since he was at Oklahoma. I really liked him at USC. I know it was kind of a down year last year, but you know, you go back and you watch last season, he had to push, like he had to press. They had to hang 50 every single game because that defense for USC was historically bad. That's why Alex Grinch lost his job week 11. You know, I'm a big Lincoln Riley fan, but I thought he was pretty lazy last year. Like, the play calling was really lazy. They didn't have a strong run game. I like Caleb Williams, man. I think he's going to be the goods. And I can't wait to see what they do later on in the draft. You know, do they get a Malik? Does Malik Nabers fall? What wide receiver falls?
I don't
falls?
Think he falls to nine. They would offense. Have to move up.
I wouldn't even hate them just continuing to add pieces on the defensive side of the ball. You can never have too many pass rushers. You can never have too much depth in the secondary. But I think, I don't know if it's this year, I would take a stab on the Bears better than 3-1 to win the NFC North. But I do think that they're going to be competing for the division and in the NFC probably in the next 2 to 3 years, man.
That's what was so great about that Keenan Allen move. You're not tied to a receiver for sure at number nine or with your second first round pick. You can kind of sit there, and if there's an offensive lineman you like that falls to you, go for it. Edge. Sure, why not? That's not a bad idea to pair someone with Montez Sweat. You have options there. Here's one thing that does jump out to me right now in the betting markets, and I know that you have some NFL draft bets that you want to mention, but quarterbacks, that's going to be the number one story. We know at least it's going to start with two, maybe three, possibly even four. The over-under for quarterbacks selected in the first round It's heavily juiced, but it's at 4.5 minus 200 to the over. I think that number's going to move to 5.5 at plus money, and I would bet the over there. How about you?
Yep, I've already bet the over. You know, I found some offshore stuff, and I'll pay the juice on that because Caleb's obviously going number one. I think Jaden Daniels is going to go number two. I actually bet that. I found that offshore. Plus 220 when it moved to minus 140, and it moved to minus 140 because the Commanders picked up Marcus Mariota. So you're thinking, all right, if they're going to go with a mobile quarterback or a, you know, a dual threat quarterback for the first couple of weeks of the season or bring him into camp, they're most likely going to draft Jaden Daniels, who reminds me of a skinnier version of Lamar Jackson. Like, he could push the ball down the field, but man, he's really good with his legs. He's just going to have to slide and get out of bounds because he doesn't have the same build as Lamar Jackson. He's a little too skinny right now. And then I know that there's people that are down on Drake May. I would draft Drake May number two. I know the mechanics are kind of an issue. I know people are worried or concerned because he's a UNC quarterback. You know, it reminds you of Sam Howell, Mitchell Trubisky, who didn't really pan out in the league, but he's like 6'4". He can make every single throw. And when he struggled, it was because at North Carolina, he didn't really have a downfield threat. Once Tez came back last year, he played much better. It took him some time to figure out the too high shell stuff, but it took Patrick Mahomes some time just to figure that out and take what was given to him underneath. So I still think Drake May goes top five. And then it's going to be J.J. McCarthy. Teams love J.J. McCarthy. I think Minnesota really loves J.J. McCarthy. Then you got Bo Nix. You got Michael Penix.
Penix, possibly Penix, yeah. That's the question.
Only thing that concerns me about him, man, is the knee injuries. He's a little bit older, but he can make every single throw. So I like Michael Penix. I would only take over. I think everybody's going to want to move up and get their quarterback in this draft.
Those first five are going in the first round. The question is Penix. Is he going to slide due to injury? Probably top 40, but that doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to be a first-round pick overall. I find that market to be very interesting, and I would certainly bet on the over. I don't think that 4.5 is going to last. It's going to bump up to 5.5. So you like Jaden Daniels to Washington. Marvin Harrison Jr. one is interesting.
Yeah.
Because for a while, everybody had him. Okay, he's going to be the first non-QB. No questions asked. In fact, maybe there's a team that wants to slide into the top three. I don't see that happening in the New England situation. But that's been talked about a little bit. Or does he go number four to Arizona? They seem to love him as well. There's been some chatter. It could just be draft stuff, trying to throw off the scent a little bit. You get that. There's so much time to kill. What are you going to do? Repeat the same thing again and again for months? But there has been some chatter about the LSU receivers possibly going before Harrison. I did see one mock the other day that had Joe Alt going third overall. I don't see that happening. You're a Notre Dame guy. You could tell me what you think of him. But you like Marvin Harrison Jr. Let's go back to what we've been thinking of the receivers, probably highest floor and probably highest ceiling.
Yeah, I think so, man. And I know that there's some people that were worried that he didn't work out. I just think he's like, hey, I'm Marvin Harrison. I don't need to work out because you guys have all been talking about me for the last 2 years. You know who my dad is. You saw what I could do on the field. Like, look what he did this year in Ohio State for the first time, probably in my life. Well, no, that's not true. But the first time in the last decade, they didn't really have good quarterback play. McCord was no good, man. Like, there's a reason why he transferred out of the program, and Marvin Harrison still put up numbers. So I'm not worried that he didn't work out. I still think he is going to be the first non-quarterback selected. That's where I bet him at. It was minus 185 at the time. Joe Alt, that's the one that scares me a little bit. See, I like him, man. I don't know that I could do it as a top five pick. I like Joe Alt. Like, if you go back and you watch the Louisville game, I mean, I know that was just a gauntlet of a schedule. They had played like four games back to back to back of really tough opponents, but he was like getting knocked on his ass in that game by like a 245-pound defensive end. I think he's going to be a good pro, but I think with the ceiling that Marvin Harrison has, you have to take him. So I do think he's going to be the first wide receiver taken. I think he's going to be the first non-quarterback. And then right after him, I think Malik Nabers is going to go. I really like Malik Nabers. You know, I was looking at Daniel Jeremiah's draft. He does have Harrison as the first wide receiver off the board. He has the Jets moving up to take him. I don't know that the Chargers are going to want to trade back at five. I think there's a reason why they let Keenan Allen and Mike Williams walk. I think they're going to go out. They're going to get Marvin Harrison. But Malik Nabers is going to be really good, I think. I like all these wide receivers. Rome Odunze.
I know.
Brian Thomas, I really like. Brock Bowers is a tight end, but he lined up at wide receiver for Georgia. I think, and I say this every year, this is one of the deepest wide receiver classes, but I think Marvin Harrison is going to be the first to go, man.
The Bears are staring at Odunze still sitting there at nine. I take them. A lot of people think that they need to move down. I'm taking them. And yeah, we keep Keenan for a year or two, and Odunze works with him. I think that would be terrific. Early odds with Joe Ostrowski, Sports Radio 670. The Score with you early here on this Saturday morning. My guy Ryan Horvath, BetMGM, tonight with me. What about baseball? Let's talk some baseball futures. I know you have some player stuff. But let's start with the team stuff. Whatever you want to throw at me, win total, division, pennant, World Series, what you got?
All right, so let's actually start with the Kansas City Royals, right? I was looking at the AL Central, which is an absolute dumpster fire, because I still can't believe that the White Sox win total is in the low 60s. I mean, I can believe it because they're a mess right now, but 63.5. But I've been looking at the Kansas City Royals. The Twins are the heavy favorites in the Central, minus 110. They won the division last year with, I believe, 87 wins. They didn't do much, though, in the offseason. I mean, they picked up Carlos Santana, who I believe is 36 years old. So I was looking at the value in the AL Central, and there was an 8-1 price plus 850 on the Royals. I like their win total. I took the win total over 73, but I also took a stab plus 850 on them to win the AL Central. Maybe I'm a year too early, but yeah. I like the improvements that they made, man. Like, look at the starting rotation. You have Seth Lugo coming over. He had a 3.57 ERA in over 146 innings for the Padres. You have Michael Wacha. So now you have two veteran arms. I really like their young pitchers, and I like the lineup. I like Bobby Witt. You know, he had 30 homers last season. He's really strong defensively at shortstop. All the nerd stats are really nice. I think the Royals can make a run. Maybe I'm, like I said, a year too early here. But with that rotation, with some vets, with that lineup, which I know isn't amazing, but I do like Witt. And look at the rest of the division. You have the Guardians. You have the White Sox, who just dealt Dylan Cease. I kind of like the Tigers, but I'm not there yet as far as the price, just because of the contracts that they gave out. Look what they're paying Javi Baez. So I think the Royals are going to be a sleepy team. So I like the win total a little bit more, but I did take a stab on them to win the AL Central.
It's interesting with KC and just looking at the win total and the results of last year. It's saying there's going to be a massive jump in Kansas City, but are they going to get over that win total? That's the question. You know, knocking on mid-70s when last year they were at mid-50s as far as wins. But a lot of these teams just didn't get better. Minnesota, of course, here at the White Sox. Cleveland, it's like, who got better? Detroit, you can make that argument with what they did with the pitching. But outside of that, nah, not really. I don't mind taking a shot on the long shot in a bad division. I don't think that's the worst idea. AL for me, the ones that stand out are actually the ones in the American League East. Yeah, give me under on the Yankees. I'll do it every single year. And it sounds like it's happening with the health of that rotation. That number, I saw it at one point, it was 94.5. Love the Yankees under, and I don't care the names in the rotation. They find a way. It doesn't matter. I'll take the Rays over 84.5.
I mean, every year, man. That's an auto play for me every single year. I'm going to take the Rays over. You know, I don't care who they lose out of that rotation.
Oh, Glasnow, McClanahan, Springs, Rasmussen, they'll be back middle of the year, whatever. I don't care. There's going to be new guys we've never heard of pitching awesome.
So I also took the under on the Yanks, especially with this Garrett Cole injury, man. I don't like the Yanks rotation.
And Rodon looks bad. Yeah.
And Rodon was bad last year. Who's the number one starter in that rotation? I actually thought the Yankees were going to be a little bit more aggressive and maybe go after Dylan Cease. The problem is the Yankees don't want to give up any of their top prospects. That's just not how they roll. You know what I mean? Yep. So I'm out on the Yankees. I like Toronto. I'm going to do it with Toronto. I think Vlad's going to have a bounce back year. I think he's going to hit at least 40 homers. I bet the home run prop, but I took a stab once again with Toronto. And then the only other bet that I had over in the East, other than going under on the Yankees, I also went under on the O's. The O's have been a fun story the last 2 years. Last year they won the division, but 91.5. I'm going to go under. I like the Corbin Burns pickup, but man, like they're ready. Have some injuries. Kyle Bradish has a partial UCL tear. He's trying to avoid surgery. He's going to begin the year on the IL. They lost their all-star closer and American League reliever of the year, Felix Bautista. He's going to miss the entire season. He had Tommy John surgery. John Means, again, is going to begin the season on the IL. And Gunnar Henderson, who everybody's talking about maybe is like a sexy MVP pick, he's got an oblique injury that he's nursing already. Yeah. The starting rotation behind Burns and Grayson Rodriguez, not great. Pecota has Baltimore at 86.9. I believe Fangraphs and Davenport both have him at 85. I won't be shocked if Baltimore makes a run, goes to the postseason, but 91.5 I thought was a little bit too inflated. I see it more around like 86, 87. So I love the Orioles under 91.5 wins.
All right, very good. We'll get to our favorite college plays of the day coming up in a few minutes, but a couple other things I want to mention with baseball. You're a big Cubs fan, so let's hit on the National League Central. And you spent so many years up in Milwaukee covering the Brewers. I find it really interesting, this number with Milwaukee. There's just this expectation that they're going to be god-awful this season. I think that's from people that are not paying close attention and looking at all the top prospects that they now have coming up. You know, around 76.5 for them. It wouldn't surprise me if they go over, and the expected jump on the Cardinals seems to be too much for me. For them to be co-favorites with the Cubs, I don't get it. The number 84.5, I don't get it after 71 wins last year. I'm going under on the Cardinals over on the Brewers.
Yeah, I couldn't go under on the Brewers, man. With the Cardinals, like history tells me, being a Cub fan, the Cardinals will probably bounce back this year, win the NL Central, right? Goldschmidt will be healthy. Arenado will have a bounce back year and win MVP. But with that rotation, I can't do it with St. Louis at that price. I would only go over on the Brewers. I did find over at ESPN Bet there's a 75.5. I'd probably bet that all the way to 79 because of what you said, man. The Brewers don't really rebuild. I know they lose Craig Counsell. He's no longer the manager. I know Devin Williams is dealing with an injury. I know that, you know, Corbin
Woodruff.
Brandon Woodruff's dealing with an injury, but they still have the projected top defensive team in the entire league. And they still, even without Devin, have one of the better, if not the best, bullpen in all of baseball. So I would go over on the Brewers. They just don't rebuild. And I'm not really sold on anybody in the NL Central. I mean, even as a Cubs fan, excited that they were able to bring back Cody Bellinger. I bet his home run prop over 23.5. Good chance he goes back to hitting 185, but I don't know, man. 80 plus games at Wrigley Field. I thought that number was too low. If I had to do anything, I haven't done it yet, I would look at the Reds. I think the Pirates are probably a year away. I like their win total. They're going to have to stay healthy, but I love that young roster. But with the Reds, man, to win the NL Central plus 340, which I believe is where DK has it right now, I like the rotation. You have Hunter Green, you have Graham Ashcraft, and then they were kind of beat up last year. Matt McClain's going to return to the lineup after a pretty good rookie season. Ellie De La Cruz, they won 82 games last year. So I think they could win 85, 86 games, which may win the Central. So at plus 340, I would maybe take a stab with the Cincinnati Reds. What do you think about them? You think that they're a year or they're too sexy? I kind of like Cincy this year, man.
It's about the pitching. Third favorite in that division where a lot of things are thrown up in the air. I think that's right. That's a different approach that I would take in the National League Central as opposed to the American League Central, which is completely wide open. I think it's going to come down to those top three teams. It's just because of the value. Like if I'm telling you to make a prediction versus making a bet, those are two different things. Because the value on the Reds is 4-1, and they're pretty close to those other top two teams, I would go that route. But if you're making a prediction, you would probably go, I don't know, Cubs or Cardinals, right?
Yeah, most likely.
Cubs I wouldn't go Cardinals. I'd probably go Cubs.
Yeah, I think you're getting a better number, obviously, with the Cubs. You know, I'm a homer. I'm a Cubs fan, so I'm going to be cheering for them regardless.
But they're not that far apart.
No.
Cubs and Reds. Yeah.
And I mean, I'm excited. I want to see. Like Craig Counsell, I was such a huge fan in Milwaukee because of the way that they used their bullpen, right? And then I know that they changed the rules, so he had to kind of like change, adapt a little bit. But I do think he's a great manager. He's making a lot of money. We'll see, man. We'll see. Yeah. I really hope that the Cubs could win 90, 95 games. That would be a beautiful thing, but I don't know. I'm not there yet.
Yeah. I get what you're saying. They're taking that step forward every single year. When's the step back coming? Right. Hopefully not this season. Early odds with Joe Ostrowski, Sports Radio 670, The Score. Horvy, sit tight because coming up next, I want to go over our favorite plays of the day. We've got 8 matchups where teams are fighting it out to make it to the Sweet 16. We'll find out what happens. We'll go over those numbers next. Early odds with Joe Ostrowski, my guest Ryan Horvath of BetMGM tonight on the BetQL Network. You've got early odds on 670 The Score and the Odyssey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Yeah. Early odds with Joe Ostrowski, Sports Radio 670 The Score, with you every Saturday morning, 8 to 9 a.m. During the tournament a little bit earlier, right here on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. College basketball. All right, Horvy, let's go over the 8 games. Ryan Horvath, my guest of BetMGM tonight, weeknights, and sometimes you catch a final hour right here on 670 The Score. Let's divide this into two sections. We've got the earlier games and then the night games. 8 games, and let's take a look at these numbers. We've got Arizona as a heavy favorite over Dayton, somehow going on that 24-4 run the other day to make it to this point. So Zona favored by 9. The Zags in Kansas, nobody had them matching up. People thought there was going to be a surprise in there. There was not. Gonzaga is a 4.5-point favorite over beat-up Kansas. North Carolina favored by 4.5 against Michigan State. That number was even shorter the other day. And then Iowa State, minus 7.5 against Washington State. You don't have to pick all four, but of those four games, what do you like the most?
All right, so I can't believe I'm saying this, man, because I had Mississippi State in the opening round. I wasn't there with this Michigan State team this season. I know it's Tom Izzo in March, but I thought they were getting bounced. They won 19 games. They struggled in Big Ten play. And then all of a sudden, they couldn't miss a shot in the opening round game against Mississippi State. But I look at this matchup against North Carolina. The number, I guess, seems about right because it's where KenPom has it, but still, 3.5 is kind of surprising. I have Carolina going to the Final Four, but the more I look into this matchup, I like Sparty. If we get a 4, it's probably going to be a bigger bet for me, but I did bet Michigan State pretty small. You know, I know that they lost to several teams the last couple weeks that didn't even make the tournament. Iowa, Ohio State, they lost to Indiana. But look at the way that Tyson Walker and all their perimeter players played in that opening round game. And it's Tom Izzo in March. They're going to have the coaching advantage. What scares me a little bit, though, is they were outscored in the paint by Mississippi State. And Carolina's just so big, man. Like, Baycott had 20 and 15 in the first round because there was nobody on Wagner that could stop them. Michigan State, like I just said, most of their players are all on the perimeter. So I don't know if they're going to have the height to keep up inside to win this game outright, but anything over 2 possessions, I actually kind of like Sparty. It's sitting there right now, plus 3.5, opened actually at 4. I like Michigan State, so that might be a bigger bet if we get back to 4, but I do have some Michigan State plus 3.5 against Carolina coming
yeah,
up.
Yeah, and I think you'll get a better number before we get to that game. You can get
only going up, right?
Yeah, I think so. People are like, whoa, we've got this 1-8 matchup, and this seems to be a short number. I think that's telling you something, doesn't it? And you have the strong defenses on both ends. I get it. I would trust Izzo, even though I may be a little bit sick of that narrative. That makes perfect sense to me. You know, Gonzaga, Kansas, I'm looking forward to this game more than the others. We know what's happening with Kansas and the injuries that they have, but man, I just think that's going to be an issue. They almost gave up that game the other night. They almost gave up their massive lead that they had against Samford. So I expect this to be decided by the bigs. Gonzaga's played good ball over the last month. Few making it to the Sweet 16. That's where I'm at. Kansas has zero bench. They played 6 guys the other day. So the McCullough injury is really going to kill them in this spot. And I think most people would look at these two teams and think they're about even. Again, the line is telling you something by the Zags being favored by 4.5, and their seeding is only 1 apart.
Yeah, again, I've been down on Kansas all season long. Let's say Kevin McCullough's playing and he gave him 18 points per game, like 4 rebounds, 3 assists. He was their best player. Hunter Dickinson was excellent the other night. He had 19 points, 20 rebounds,
monster.
18-11, man. Yeah. But, you know, even if McCullough was healthy, I would have Gonzaga advancing. I actually like the Zags this year. Now, they don't have a star. Like, they don't have a Drew Timmy or a Chet Holmgren. They don't have, you know, Adam Morrison. But what I like is they have depth and they have 4 guys that average at least 12 points. They have Nebhard's brother averaging 12.8. Hickman averages almost 14. Watson averages 14. And then Ike's their leading scorer with almost 17 points per game and 7 boards. So they have depth. They're well coached. I really like Mark Few. I know he hasn't won a national championship, but he's coached in 2 games, 2 national championships. So I'm going to actually give them the coaching advantage here. I like Bill Self, man, but this is just, this team has no depth, like you said. They have like a 6-man rotation, and not without McCullough, they have to play their bench more. They were lucky just to get past that game the other night. I love Gonzaga in this spot, and I think this only goes up, so I bet immediately at 4.5. I like the Zags quite a bit. I was shocked that everybody was picking against them with McNeese State. You know, McNeese, Drake, and you know, like there's these trendy dogs. But yeah, no, I think Gonzaga is a sleeping giant in this tournament. It won't shock me if they go all the way to the Elite Eight, maybe even Final Four.
Those trendy dogs, you know, where they end up at the end of the day. You know, before we go to the night games, I would just say that I lean Dayton. I don't know that I'm going to get there, but as this thing keeps climbing, 9.5, it's projected to be more like a 6-point game. Look, part of the reason that Arizona just barely covered the other day against Long Beach State was Long Beach State was 3-for-17 on threes. Dayton will not be 3-for-17 today. They're the third best 3-point shooting team in the nation. So I think that's going to keep this one at least in the single digits. I like Arizona to go far while everybody else is crapping on Tommy Lloyd. I like them to bounce back this year and have a deep run in the tournament, but 9.5 is too many points for me.
Way too many points. They're asking you to pay the premium right there. And like, okay, so that's the thing with the NCAA tournament too. I mean, a lot of these teams, like I said this with Duquesne, I called them the worst 11 seed in tournament history. And if you look at the metrics, like they were overseeded. They play hard. It's a good basketball team, but you know what I mean? Like, but there comes a point with all of these teams, with Duquesne, you know what I mean? Like with a team like Dayton, where if we're going past key numbers, if we're just blowing past numbers and we're making numbers 9.5, 10, you have to take the dog. Even if you don't think the dog could win the game outright, you know what I mean? We're not really betting the team, we're betting the price. So I'm with you. I haven't got there yet, but that'd be the only way that I would bet that game.
No doubt. That's Ryan Horvath. I'm Joe Ostrowski. This is Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski, Sports Radio 670. The Score, the games tonight. We've got Oakland and NC State. NC State favored by 5.5. I can't believe we're saying that for the right to go to the Sweet 16. I think this number is actually touching 6.5 now. We've got Texas and Tennessee. Same number. The Vols favored by 6.5. Illinois against Duquesne. This one was touching double digits. And Creighton favored by 5.5 over Oregon. Good games tonight. What do you like?
Yeah, I'm really excited for these. So I'm going to take a shot with Texas. Anything over 2 possessions, and I planned on betting Texas. So I grabbed them at 6.5. Everybody loves Tennessee. Everybody loves Dalton Knecht. And I get it. He's great. He averages 21 points per game. He could go off for 40. They play enough defense. But, man, it's hard for me to trust Rick Barnes, who's in his 9th season with Tennessee and is yet to lead them past the Sweet 16. I like this team. It's hard for me to trust anybody in the SEC right now. Bama doesn't play any defense. Kentucky gets bounced early, even though I had them making a Final Four run because I was getting really good prices. I know Texas, not great against the spread when they have to step up in class. I think they're 3-8 straight up, actually, against AP top 25 teams this season. Mm-hmm. But I like him. I like Rodney Terry. He has more Elite Eight appearances in 1 year at Texas than Barnes has in 9 seasons with Tennessee. Mm-hmm. And I think they're at least going to be able to keep this game within 2 possessions. So I love the Longhorns plus 6.5. Tennessee most likely advances and wins the game. But I think Texas is going to keep that game close. So that was the first bet that I made for the night slate. And then I'm probably going to get there with Duquesne. I'm just waiting on the best of the number. I bet against Illinois with Moorhead. Moorhead was in that game in the first half. Illinois is good, man. I mean, they got guards that can post you up. Terrence Shannon could go off for 40. Since he's returned to the lineup, they look like a Final Four contending team. But again, Illinois hasn't played in the Sweet 16 since the national championship run when they lost to North Carolina. You know what I mean? Like Brad Underwood, I like him. I just don't trust him when we get to the postseason. He hasn't led Illinois to the Sweet 16 yet. This should be the year, but if we get to 10.5, Duquesne's going to be a play for me. Yep. And I love Oregon, man. Opened at 7, down to 5.5. Yeah. I love the Ducks team. I like Dana. They're so well coached. Creighton's so good offensively, but man, I don't trust them to get stops late in this game. I think the Ducks are actually going to pull off the mini upset. So I like Oregon. I like Duquesne. I like Texas. I like all the dogs tonight. What could possibly go wrong?
I was just going to ask you, are you a little concerned that you like too many underdogs? Because as I was looking at the slate, I ended up on a couple of favorites, but I was like, man, I hope I'm not overreacting to what we saw on Thursday. But just with these numbers that they're giving us, I'm with you, Duquesne. Getting double digits? Absolutely. Against an Illinois team that can't play defense? Illinois can beat anybody, but they can also lose to anybody on any given day. So yeah, Duquesne, I don't mind that. That Oregon number, I like Creighton. I've liked them all year, but 5.5, 6, that's way too many points for me. Oakland, I think that this is going to be the Cinderella story. They're going to go to the Sweet 16, and they're going to take down NC State. But, hey, I've been expecting NC State to lose for quite some time. The favorite I do like that I'm on the opposite side of you, I understand fading Rick Barnes. I've celebrated fading Rick Barnes many, many times. I think it's a little too early. It's going to happen, but I'm not going to do it in this spot. 6.5, I think Tennessee, that defense is just so darn tough. They're going to take care of business. But after what you said about Texas, you know, watching, Max Asemus wasn't even that good the other night. And I think that's a good thing for the Longhorns because we haven't had his good game yet in this tournament.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that one does scare me. I think Illinois actually scares me more. Maybe the angle that you take when you're going against Illinois, like look at the Big Ten, the championship game of the Big Ten tournament, right? Yep. They trailed by 10. Even yesterday, you know, Morehead was in that game in the first half. Maybe the angle is you take Duquesne in the first half. Because then in the second half, talent just takes over, especially with Illinois. They just have too many guys that could get buckets. You know what I mean? Even if they can't get stops, they could go on like a 15-4, 15-6 run whenever they want. So that's the one that scares me. I get what you're saying with Tennessee. I have them in my bracket going to the Final Four. Just a big number. The favorite that I actually kind of like, Iowa State. Iowa State, I know the number 6.5, and I know they go on these scoring droughts where they can't get buckets. But other than Houston, I don't think there's a team in the country that defends like them. They're really well coached. I won't be shocked if they make a run all the way to the Final Four. I say that in my bracket, I had them getting knocked out by Drake, but Drake's been eliminated, so that's dead. I like Iowa State if I had to play a favorite at 6.5, though.
And we got Gonzaga.
And the Zags. Yeah, for sure.
Very good. That's Ryan Horvath. Check him out. Weeknights, BetMGM tonight on the BetQL Network. Horvy, enjoy all the games, and let's make sure we do this again maybe a couple times before we get to the NFL draft, all right?
Let's definitely do it. Before I go, you know I have to give you some value in college football when nobody else is betting college football.
I thought you were going to give me high school football.
Absolutely not. So Cam Rising is back at practice right now for Utah. He used his medical red shirt. His best wide receiver is going to be back this year. They are now in the Big 12. You know who's no longer in the Big 12? Texas or Oklahoma. Look at Utah's schedule. Every tough game they have, they play at home this season. A real home field advantage. Probably the top 10 head coach. You know they're going to be top 15 defensively because the Utes are top 15 defensively every single season. We have the expanded college football playoff. Obviously, conference futures, win total's not up yet, but I took a stab with Utah, 66-1 to win the national title. With the expanded playoff, man, there's going to be plenty of hedging opportunities. I think they're the best team in that conference with everybody coming back. So that would be my value bet. Utah, 66-1 in college football to win it all.
Thank you for getting that in late March. Horvy, talk soon, all right?
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me.
You know, let's get back to football, actually. The NFL in draft variety, though. We'll check in on those top five pick odds and MLB MVP selections. That's next. Follow me on X at Joe Ostrowski, at Joe Ostrowski. This is Early Odds on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it.
I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The Score listener line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Welcome back. You've got Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski, Sports Radio 670. The Score, typically here 8 to 9 a.m. during the tournament, a little bit earlier. And every single week, we have a weekly contributor. His name is my friend Jim Miller over at Hawthorne Racecourse, checking in. Jim, day number 3 of the tournament. Are you tired yet?
Yeah, a little bit, but it's the beauty of being tired because you get to start watching basketball just before lunchtime, and you get to watch basketball well after bedtime, and there's always chaos in the tournament. That's what makes it great. Always going to be teams that make that run. So, you know what? You can be tired, but you can be truly entertained, and that's what I think the first 4 days of the NCAA tournament always provides.
I'm getting back in the flow because I realized during the conference tournaments that I was a little bit out of practice. When you don't have a Sunday every single week, when you're there from morning all the way to the end of Sunday night football, and then the NBC news is kind of there putting you to sleep at the end of the day, like, when you don't spend your entire day in front of a television and you start to do that again and you do it in back-to-back days like we have over the last couple of days, and I realize, oh man, yeah, this is a little exhausting, but a good exhaustion. And we'll start to get the Sweet 16 set after today. I know everybody's enjoying it. It's so much fun. I love the different ways we can bet it. We always talk about Survivor on the show involving the NFL. My favorite Survivor of the year is March Madness. The square pools are fun because there are 63 different games where you could possibly win. So many different ways to attack this.
There are so many ways to attack it. And the cool thing about it that I like is, okay, yeah, you can bet outright champions. You can bet every single game that is played. I like being able to bet teams to make either the Elite Eight or make the Final Four, where you can get a little bit better odds and you don't have to win at all. But a team that makes a little bit of a run where you can find some value, maybe pull off, say, one or two upsets, beat a number one or somewhere along those lines. I think that's where you can really find great plays that allow you to carry in multiple weeks to the tournament. It keeps your interest the whole way around, too. I think that's really kind of the beauty of covering this over the course of 3 weeks.
Well, we've got more than 3 weeks to go before we get to the NFL draft, Jim. And it's like the draft is here. It is discussed ad nauseum, and for good reason, whether we're talking about on this station or elsewhere, because anywhere I go, that's the only thing in town that people want to talk about. They want to talk about the next Bears quarterback. And the other day it was a pro day for Caleb Williams over at USC. Last weekend, it goes down. Finally, Justin Fields gets dealt, and we have the massive move. It was almost immediately across the board. Caleb Williams went from minus 1,200 favorite to be the number one pick to now everywhere minus 5,000. We all know it's happening. The intrigue is gone, Jim. It's like the Trevor Lawrence year where we're just going to have to look past number one overall. As far as a betting perspective, it gets interesting after Caleb Williams. Number one's done, man. It's just a matter of getting to that date and the commissioner announcing the pick.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, to the credit of the Bears, they've played it right for the fact that they've still gone and done their homework on just about everybody. But yeah, it seems like a foregone conclusion. Now, we were talking about this just last week when Justin Fields was still around after what was almost a week of free agency, saying, okay, maybe there's the potential they trade it. But man, the writing's on the wall now, so it sure looks that way. But here's the thing, Joe. I love the fact that there's odds for the NFL draft. Number two to the Commanders, it's between Jaden Daniels or Drake May. Number three to New England, they flip-flopped those two. And then number four, things seem to open up a little bit. To me, I think these are kind of the picks where at least you can have the discussion that maybe you can still make some money. Because, you know, when we first look at the mock drafts, Drake May was like, he was the number two on everybody's draft list. Mm-hmm. Well, now all of a sudden, Jaden Daniels is the favorite of two. Drake May becomes the favorite of three. And then after then, you start looking at Marvin Harrison and all the receivers. But it seems like the more talk that there is about wide receivers, the more love that goes away from Marvin Harrison and two other wide receivers, But I still think there's going to be some intrigue between who chooses Jaden Daniels and who ends up with Drake May.
Almost every mock has quarterback, quarterback, quarterback with the first three picks. Another thing that stands out to me, Jim, and you mentioned the two guys at the top. By the way, if you think something else is going to happen, somebody's going to trade out of one of those picks, it probably stays quarterback. You want to jump at the value and say, oh, maybe someone's going to move for Marvin Harrison. Maybe somebody does, but you're not moving into the top three to get Marvin Harrison Jr. Nope. You're only moving up there to get a quarterback. Maybe once we get closer, Jim, it's going to be a conversation of the first four picks all being quarterbacks with some of the love that we've seen out of McCarthy. Those odds at number four, McCarthy is the second favorite after Marvin Harrison Jr. And by the way, with Harrison, not all executives believe that he's the best receiver on the board. There's a belief out there, those LSU guys, maybe they're the ones that have the higher ceiling.
They may have the higher ceiling. I think they do, and they provide the value. Joe, I'm still not getting the love for J.J. McCarthy either.
I mean,
he's been there at the second choice. I initially wasn't even looking at him as a first-round quarterback, and then all of a sudden just skyrocketing up the board. But it does happen with players every year. I do think at four, especially with Kyler Murray back, you're looking at a receiver. But I'm telling you, Malik Nabers sitting there hovering somewhere between 7 and 8 to 1. Roma Dunze hovering somewhere around 20 to 22 to 1. I think there provides a little bit of value just in a category that seems like it's so much more closely matched. Marvin Harrison sitting right around minus 200, minus 2 to 1 there for the number four pick. But man, I'll tell you, these other guys on the board, I think that's still a big enough gap, especially with weeks leading into the draft, that you may have that value and they may be worth a play.
I get it. You hate Nazareth. Is that what's happening with J.J. McCarthy? No, I'm actually with you. I would not take him that high. Look how much this changes, though. A few weeks ago, it was about that range where a bunch of teams need a quarterback, 11, 12, 13. In that range, could McCarthy go there? Now we're saying, what about top five? Things change quickly, man. Like, people like to say that this is all set in stone. Not even close to that, because what happened last year? About a month outside of the draft, was anybody talking about Anthony Richardson going number four overall? And that's exactly what happened with Indianapolis. What about a few years ago? It was a monster bust, but with San Francisco, anybody have Trey Lance going third overall? But he did. So who knows? Who knows exactly what these executives are thinking and what's going to happen? It takes one. That's the interesting part when it comes to the draft. And unfortunately, we don't have odds on the number nine overall pick yet for the Bears. We have up to eight. I can't wait to see what we get at nine. Fascinating. You mentioned earlier, Pulse has been playing it right, and I agree with you for once. I will give my flowers to a Bears executive, believe it or not. But yeah, he is. And the biggest thing that he's done of late to me, not only the field trade, but we knew that was going to happen. The Keenan Allen move. By bringing in Keenan Allen, options are opened up for what I believe every team should be doing, especially if you're going in the top 10 BPA, best player available. Before the Keenan Allen move, they were stuck. They were going to have to take the best receiver on the board at number nine. Now they're not stuck. It can be Adunze if he ends up falling. It can be the best receiver. It can be the best offensive lineman to protect Caleb Williams. It can be the best guy coming off the edge to help what I believe is already a top five defense.
He's played this perfectly. Yeah. I mean, he really has. He's done everything right. He did everything right last year when he was able to make that pick to trade out of number one. He did it right last year, because you look at the haul that came back in return, and he's positioned himself for that this year. I'll be curious to see what happens. I do think they are going to remain at nine. Some people have said they're going to trade out of nine, but I'm with you. Best player available is the route that you're able to go. There are still some holes to plug, but not nearly as many, Joe, as what you had just a few weeks ago. Keenan Allen, he plugged a huge hole. All right, well, Gerald Everett, now all of a sudden you have that second solid tight end for that scheme. You're building on that defense. I think offensive line is actually a spot where I personally would look in this draft. I'll just be curious to see what Ryan Poles does. But the other thing, too, he's very quiet. He lays in the weeds. I mean, he surprised everybody with that trade last year. Nothing would shock me with what he's doing this year.
Early odds, Joe Ostrowski, Sports Radio 670, the Score Weekly contributor. Jim Miller here. And before we get to the horses, Jim, let's talk some baseball. AL and NL MVP. There was a dirty rumor out there. I don't know if this actually happened. Somebody told me that baseball's opening day already occurred. Can you confirm?
Oh my gosh. Isn't it crazy? South Korea baseball this past week, 5-2, Dodgers beating the Padres to open things up.
Nobody
and it kind of slid by everybody. It's not by
happen?
Everybody that the season started.
So did it really happen? Nobody was watching it. I don't think it really happened.
you know what? I didn't like the timing of the of how they did it. I would have made this a bigger spectacle. It just did it. It slid on by last week, and I think that was a mess for Major League Baseball for sure.
Shocking. All right, American League side, what you got?
This is a weird side on the American League because Juan Soto's 5-1 is your favorite. Yeah, he's solid, but he's also on a team where he's going to have a whole lot of other guys that are going to receive consideration too as well. I just think you can look away from him. You and I talked in the home run race a couple weeks ago about Corey Seager, how he could have a huge year coming back off injury. His numbers last year were fantastic. He's sitting at 11-1. You mentioned his teammate, who I loved last year, in Adolis Garcia. Adolis is at 80-1. He definitely has to improve the average, but he nearly hit 40 home runs last year. And then, Joe, the one guy I tend to wonder about who's sitting at 25-1 this year, Adley Rutschman. This is a guy who plays the position. Remember, Buster Posey won an MVP in the past, and catchers, I think, are given a little bit more consideration, even if their numbers don't quite match up offensively to other position players. But this is a guy that can produce for average, for power numbers, for RBI numbers, on a team that's definitely on the up, and I do expect that Rutschman is going to be a vital part of that. I would look to him this year, and then maybe look around the couple Texas guys there if you can find the right value.
All right, I'm going to be a little bit boring. But as far as the AL MVP, I'm probably going to wait because the guys I like have very short numbers. If you're asking me to make a prediction on which guy's going to win AL MVP, I'm going to say with the short porch. And it's a guy I bet on in the past. Love the player, love the talent. Shortest number on the board, though, that's the problem. It's Juan Soto. Maybe he comes out stumbling a little bit and you end up getting a better number, then I would jump all over that. But at 6-1, I'm not going to bite. Maybe Yordan Alvarez is healthy for an entire season for Houston at 11-1. I don't think that's awful. You mentioned Seager at 12-1. That's a possibility. Same number, very popular, and I certainly understand why. Julio Rodriguez getting a lot of love there at 12-1. I just don't love the value, and you know how I'm a value player. So those are some of the names that I'm going to be paying close attention to. Love Adley Rutschman. Love the O's as well. But yeah, the numbers in the AL right now, I'm looking at short-ish numbers, but nothing that I want to bet right now. Let's go to the National League side. I do see more value. And what's interesting, you have Ohtani over on that side, Jim. So that's what makes the AL side a little more interesting. What also makes it interesting this year on the NL side is, yeah, you do have Ohtani, but he's not going to pitch. So I think voters are going to take a look at it and say, okay, Ohtani's going to win it more. So this is our year to go away from him.
Yeah, and he's not going to be a 10 war player this year because of that.
Right.
He's hanging around 10-1. They're talking about him possibly playing the field later in the year. Sure, he's going to put up great offensive numbers this year. This is the league that I think is the boring league, actually. I mean, look at the numbers Ronald Acuna put up last year. And the little change for him that I thought was really a huge determining factor was when you talk about the pickoffs and the pitch clock and the larger bases. Well, this is a guy that had massive average numbers, massive power numbers. Oh, and 73 stolen bases on top of it. That's the reason why he is the favorite right now. He's sitting at 5-1. I think that could be one of the best numbers you're going to see on him all season long. So I wouldn't sway from that. If you want to look a little bit further down, it's the guy that we talked about last year for possible rookie of the year who's going to get a full season. And he's a huge number now, and I do expect that to come down. But he's kind of like the NL human highlight reel. Eli De La Cruz is 65-1. Ooh. Yes, he only hit 235 last year. But think about this, Joe. In limited action, 13 home runs, 44 RBIs, 35 stolen bases. If you want to talk about a guy who may knock on the doorsteps of 100 stolen bases if he's healthy, this is the one guy that could do that. That could provide some buzz if you put some other numbers alongside it, and he's going to play every day this year. I think he's the guy that provides a little bit of intrigue in the NL.
It's pretty cool that we're turning back the clock a little bit and we're talking about stolen bases and how impactful players can be that have that element to their game. And those guys are in the MVP race. Okay, so there's a couple that I like that do have more value. I thought you were going to steal one of my guys when you mentioned the NL Rookie of the Year because I have last year's winner as an MVP guy that I like. Corbin Carroll at 22-1 for Arizona. I think that's terrific value. And we have the exact same number for a Philly that I like. What if Trey Turner puts together an entire season like the finish he had to the season? Philadelphia is going to be in the mix too with Atlanta. They kind of are a forgotten team as they bring everybody back. I do like the Phillies this year, and I like Trey Turner. Both Turner and Carroll, both 22-1. I'm in on those guys for NL MVP. What about the horses today, Jim? I look at the schedule, and in addition to everything else going on in sports, we've got two Derby prep races.
And Hawthorne opens today. So first day of racing today at Hawthorne. First post, 2:40 p.m., a great 9 race card. two 100-point Derby preps this weekend that we're going to play along with another race at Fairgrounds. So Turfway Park, race 12 is the 100-point Jeff Ruby Stakes. We're going to play the three, Lucky Jeremy across the board at 8-1. Then go over to Fairgrounds, race 10, the Munez Stakes. We're going to play the one, Adamo across the board. And then race 12, the 100-point Louisiana Derby. Play the 10, Common Defense across the board. These winners and second-place finishers of these races will be in the gate the first Saturday in May.
All right, very good, Jim. I know you're a busy man over at Hawthorne, especially this weekend. So when you can, make sure you enjoy the basketball and everything going on there. Hope you stay alive and survive, all right?
I hope you stay alive as well. I got three TVs on my desk, two with racing, one with basketball, Joe.
Jim Miller, Hawthorne Racecourse weekly contributor here on Early Odds. And thanks to the BetQL Network's Ryan Horvat for hanging earlier in the hour as we hit the Bears, the draft, and, of course, the madness. It's all in the Odyssey app if you missed it earlier in the morning. I get it. Just check Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski on that Odyssey app. Up next, more hoops with You Better You Bet's countdown to tip-off inside the clubhouse at 9 o'clock per usual. Cash those tickets and keep it locked right here on 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.